The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners. On The Hard Shoulder.
Okay, you're welcome back. This is Winners and Sinners. So, two of us have not done this slot very often.
Yeah, welcome, guys. Welcome to the Winners and Sinners. What do I call it? I haven't got a word for it, really. The Winners and Sinners
segment?
Compound. No, no, I'm thinking of more sort of like gladiatorial.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us, you start
arena.
Then.
Arena.
Well, let me introduce who's in the room.
Oh, go for it.
Keith Walsh, of course, everybody knows. I mean, this is effectively your slot. Stephanie Preisner, you're also here. Hello.
Yes, I am the super sub for Alison.
Alison, you're very welcome. And two worthy subs, I'd have to say. I mean, they don't want to call them subs anymore, do they, Joe? They want to call them finishers.
Finishers. You bring your best team on late on.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay.
You guys are the finishers, which makes you better than the sub.
This is the slot, if you're like Stephanie and I, or you're turning on for the first time, which I'm sure nobody is, where we look back on the week that was, and you two are going to pick out some winners and sinners to help us navigate through the week that was. Stephanie?
Yes.
Guests go first here. Keith, you're going to have to bide your time. Give us your winner of the week. What are we talking about here?
My winner of the week are the great holiday makers of Ireland. I have had people messaging me on Instagram for the last number of weeks, so terrified about the Aer Lingus debacle, how it's going to impact people, people getting stuck abroad trying to get home. And finally, we have a resolution. So the holiday makers of Ireland are the real winners in this situation. You know, the pilots, I don't want to talk too much about the pilots because I wasn't really on their side. But, you know, the holiday makers of Ireland are delighted. They're the winners.
Yeah, I'd always be on pilots' side.
Would you?
Yeah, publicly, definitely. Yeah.
Why?
Because I'd be worried about getting on a flight. So I'd always say...
But they don't know that you are on the flight.
Well, they'd find me, you know.
And you think that they'd sacrifice themselves and everybody else?
I don't think so, but it's less reason to be nervous when getting on a flight.
Fair.
You know what I mean?
Tell me this, Stephanie. Are people messaging you saying, this is actually wonderful, I'm so glad we've stayed? Or is it, damn those pilots, we're stuck in Ireland, this is not fun?
It's damn those pilots. And I think the level at which they were at, like the fact that the raise that they were asking for in some cases, in most cases, was the raise itself was more than the average industrial wage, just left a bitter taste in people's mouths where it's like, you're looking for this much money and I've saved my, the little savings I have to go on this family holiday and now I can't go. And I booked with Aer Lingus particularly because they are, you know, in our psychology, the most reliable airline. I think it just put a bad taste in people's mouth. Also, the weather hasn't helped. It's been a washout.
It's been, tough deal if you're a parent's parent with kids in that weather. What do you do?
Well, what have I done? I have...
You're not on your holidays though.
No, I'm not on my holidays, but people are stuck in Ireland.
Yeah.
With children, and then they can't go on their holidays.
So what do you do for those 2 weeks if you've booked those 2 weeks off? You're not going to Spain and the kids are sitting there in front of you.
You're down in West Cork. You've got a nice house. It's raining for 2 weeks.
What do you do? I mean, you just get creative or else you put them in front of a nice TV and just deal with the guilt later.
Well, it's funny. We were talking about that earlier in the show whereby a tweet went viral from a professor over in the States, and she didn't think this was going to go viral. It's had 40 million views since. But she took a picture of her, I'm presuming, daughter in front of her cycling a bike saying, nobody had the best day of their childhood watching TV. 40 million views. The overwhelming response was, some of the best days of my childhood were spent watching TV. I loved it. It was fun. Saturday mornings watching TV. So maybe this guilt that we're all feeling is a little unnecessary.
Yeah, I definitely remember like SMTV Live in the morning, Blue Peter, Cocoa Pops in front of the TV. There's nothing better. Like,
imagine being, if it ever happened, which was rarely in Ireland, that you were given a day where you could just watch television. It was a rare and beautiful thing, you know?
I remember when the teacher used to roll in the TV and it was strapped to that trolley.
Sonia O'Sullivan's running, everyone. In comes the TV.
In comes the TV. Yeah.
So what's your sense, Keith, of holidays in Ireland?
Look, I mean, it's the hope that kills us because we always think it's going to be different and it never is. And it's not helped this time by, you know, obviously people had booked flights and then weren't going. And then you're stuck with 2 weeks in front of you, faced with the rain and the actuality of Irish summers. We don't really get good summers. I remember the two good summers, you know. That's the way, I'm 50 and I remember the two good summers. So, like, it's just not a thing, and we hope that it's going to be, and every year when winter finishes, we think, here we go, this is going to be great, and we're always let down. So, I think if you're faced, if it's holidays, you've got 2 weeks in front of you, it's everybody's holiday, right? Give the kids whatever they need. Give them several iPads. Show them where the sugar press is. Yeah. You watch whatever you want. You stay up a little bit late and watch something and have a glass of wine. And just, there are no rules because all rules are kind of made up anyway. Do you know what I mean?
All bets are off.
Yeah, I mean, kids will get sick of eating sugar. They get sick of watching TV. They'll find something to do. Next thing you know, they'll be building a fort out in the rain you know, by the next Wednesday.
Stephanie, you find it difficult with 2 kids at home, not on holidays where you need some rules?
Oh, I always have rules. I'm very serious about rules.
Yeah.
I can't do that whole like, let's just see how it all goes.
Yeah.
And also my children, well, now they're still babies, like, but they also kind of thrive on...
They like the
routine.
Like, this is bedtime. Like, she could set a clock by her. She just starts walking up the stairs being like, let's read stories.
Okay. We're talking about 10 years, I think.
Okay. Well, then I'll be withered, but I'll be there.
Keith, give us your winner of the week.
Well, I'm going to go for the photographer or the photograph, the Messi and Lamine Yamal photo. Is just just insanely brilliant, and it is this picture of a footballer who scored for Spain in the semi-final, and I won't get too sporty about it because there's lots of sport on News Talk already, but he scored a goal in the semi-final to help Spain get into the final of the Euros, 16 years of age. Am I right?
Got to emphasise that. This kid is like a prodigy. He's 16 and he just scored an amazing goal to put his country in the European final, so pretty special.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't happen.
No.
Norman Whiteside was 16 and he
World Cup,
played in the World Cup.
But basically the last player, I mean, he's beaten for like major men's tournament, youngest player to score at one of these tournaments was Pele in 1958. So he's now top of that list.
Do they have like things in place to protect that little dude?
They do.
Like, or does he have to be in a dressing room with all these other toxic men doing things?
Well, I don't know, to be fair.
Saying things.
to be fair to the Spanish team, I don't know how toxic they are or aren't.
No, but you know what I mean? A group of adult men who have all the testosterone and adrenaline of a football match.
I know.
He has lots of protections. He's a liaison officer. I think there's been written permission as to whether he can get changed in the dressing room. He has an adult with him at all times.
Yeah. Okay.
But it just speaks to his youth. I mean, he's maybe their best player, but he's the kid. Yeah. So it's an unbelievably interesting
Well,
dynamic.
It is a game. It's a child's game. So
played by men? Is that what they say?
We'll agree.
Rugby
is
a men's game played by children.
The most important of the least important things, I think, is generally how we can...
The most important of... Yeah, I like that. Yeah, it is good. Definitely. Yeah,
it's not my quote.
One of the least important things.
Than that. So
this photograph took place 70 years ago when this kid, Lamine Yamal, was a baby. And there's a picture of him with Lionel Messi, Barcelona player. His mother somehow found out about this photo shoot and it was a photo shoot for a charity calendar for UNICEF. All the money was going to good cause, and that's why Messi agreed to do it. He doesn't normally do photographs. He's not into that kind of thing, so he agreed to do this photograph. And lo and behold, it was this baby arrived, Lamine Yamal, you know, how can it be 17 years ago? Anyway, whenever it was, and it turns out that this was Messi, and then the child prodigy, the next Messi.
And are
Messi.
They thinking that, like, because he held him, the talent has passed on, or just...
Possibly, or just what a coincidence, or I mean, that kid must have been playing in Barcelona from like the age of 6 or something. I'm sure there was his parents had plans for him or something, but like,
it's just this wonderfully random occurrence whereby the greatest player in the world for the last 15, 20 years, it turns out, was holding Lamine Yamal as a baby. And randomly, of all the kids in Barcelona for this charity shoot, it was Yamal who was given to Messi.
That is pretty nice.
Yeah, and it is.
Because I saw these photos.
But maybe it's not a coincidence.
Well, listen, maybe we all need to bring our babies to talented
sports people.
I had a photograph taken of myself and Brian Cody. I was very young, not a baby, and I wasn't in a bath.
Right.
It never quite, like that didn't happen. You know, I didn't become a hurling prodigy.
I'm sure there are
you might be a manager
of politicians. Mm. Of young politicians being held by older politicians. You know the way people always wanted to give like Penny and Bertie her and their baby, like hold my baby.
Yeah,
yes.
I wonder if Jack Chambers was held by Bertie Ahern.
I'd be fairly sure he was.
We need to find out the answer.
If you're listening, either of you.
We've done winners. The bad news, Stephanie. Sinners of the week.
The bad news is, and I feel like I'm opening up a door to the past, but COVID, like what? It's back. It is back with a bang. Everyone has it. If you're sitting at home and you're like, oh, I have kind of a crick in my neck, I just don't feel normal, do a COVID test. See what it says. Because it's back, baby. Oh. And it's rampant. It is circulating in the community. They've changed the guidelines, though. If you're an adult, you isolate for 5 days. And if you're a child, you isolate for 3 days. Are you no longer contagious after 3 days? No, you are. And that is why it is circulating in the community.
Hey. But surely we would have heard about this. I haven't heard anything. The Taoiseach hasn't been on the telly at 6 o'clock every day, or
no, because people aren't dying. We have vaccines. It's not, okay. You know, it's now it is people. It's still bringing things to a halt. There are still hospitals that have, you know, like now had to have COVID isolation wards. It's impacting people's jobs because we're still isolating for it in a way that we don't for like flu or other things.
Isn't it kind of interesting that none of the behaviours, which obviously became second nature during the height of it, none of those have even carried on to even a small extent? Nobody
like
wants to go.
Like washing our hands?
Well, maybe. No one wants to go back to masks. I understand that. Obviously, in lots of Asian countries, they've managed to somehow continue doing that. But I mean, coughing, not covering mouth is on evidence in
daily life. But it seems also strange now that people are like, oh, I have a cough. It's not COVID. And you're like, I don't care if it's COVID. Yeah. I still don't want you coughing in my face.
Yeah, just don't cough. And into your elbow as well. Remember, not into your hand as well. Mm. But I was talking to a friend of mine who is a nurse, and she was saying that she said it's ridiculous that they didn't wear masks. She was talking about particular, you know, bad viruses or things that happen in hospitals and they're contagious or whatever. She wasn't particularly talking about COVID. But she said it is mad. I mean, it's carried on since COVID that they now wear masks going in to see certain patients. And she said it's insane that they didn't before.
Yeah.
Like, so that is one thing where masks are readily available. Nurses and doctors are more likely to wear them. I'm mad that they weren't before. So there was that good thing. But I mean, I did hear about a place in Australia a month ago, maybe, that shut down a town. I can't remember the name of it.
Because of an outbreak?
Yeah, because they just shut down the town, yeah, the county. I don't know. It was quite a large area. The name escapes me. It could have been Perth or something like that. Like, it was quite a sizable area, and so I was like, oh, is this the start?
The new variant, it's called Flirt, FLIRT. I don't know,
that doesn't sound appropriate.
It's a student radio station in Galway, circulating.
I wonder to what extent people couldn't face it psychologically again. Like the thought now of having to put on a mask again and do all that again.
I'd put on a mask again. The thought of sitting in my gaff and like only being able to walk 2 kilometres and not being able to cross a county border and the curtain twitching and the fear of like, oh, I'm going to go 2.5 kilometres because there's a Marks and Spencers there. But if somebody sees me, you know, all that, that's what I couldn't tolerate again. I'd put on a mask.
Would you? I found them so tiresome. Like you'd be out for the day. You're reaching into your pocket. The mask is kind of wet because you've worn it a few times already that day. And there's like, you know, your Snickers wrapper stuck to it. And it's like, oh, I have to put this thing on again. It was so miserable. If I could avoid it, I would. And yet, obviously, in theory, if everybody else could wear a mask, I'd be fine with that. But just the misery of wearing it, I would find so tiresome to go back to. I'd do it. Obviously, of course. I would do it.
I mean, I probably wouldn't do it for COVID. But if there was a new, like if we knew now what we knew then, which is very little about this virus that was circulating, we didn't know what it was. At that point, you're like, OK, this is going to protect me from this thing. And I don't know the extent of what it is. Because mark my words, there will be some other virus.
Oh, yeah.
Take that home with you on your Friday as you drive home to your family right now.
Just think about that. As long as I'm never in an aisle of a supermarket and moved along by security because you're here to shop and not to window shop.
Was that a thing?
Yeah, I was daydreaming.
I must say, I'm in Keith's boat here. I hadn't, maybe this is happening, but I haven't had it screamed at me. I wasn't as aware that it was as rampant as you. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, well done.
They're obviously relatively calm about the situation.
Oh yeah, people are very calm. I tested my 6-month-old because he had a cough that wasn't going away with an antibiotic and I heard on RTE that it was rampant and it came up with this positive line. I was like, what the hell?
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is about 3 weeks ago.
I was just about to say, what are you doing in here?
So he was positive. Then I was positive and had no symptoms. I was negative and had symptoms. My husband was positive with no symptoms. And my daughter is just a snot vessel anyway.
Everyone okay?
Everyone's fine. I'm tired, but I don't know if that's just having a new baby or long COVID.
Yes. Okay. Well,
combination.
I was not long COVID.
Yeah, well, let's see how it progresses.
Before Stephanie has to run and get a train, Keith.
Yep.
Sinners.
Well, I have to go for the Skort.
Skirt short hybrid.
The combi skirt short hybrid, which it was. So in Camogie, do you ever play Camogie?
I used to.
So when you play Camogie, you wear a skort, which is the combination of shorts, and it's kind of got this fake skirt over, like at the front of it, and that's what you wear in Camogie. There was a meeting, Joe, I'm sure you'll know more about this than me, but there was a meeting of the Camogie board. I don't know, what's they called?
Camogie Association.
Their board, actually, they've the first male chairman just taken over at this board meeting, and they voted. So most Camogie players don't want to wear a skirt; they want to wear shorts. Yeah, like the footballers. So the girls and female footballers were shorts, and that, they want to do that as well. And they said they expressed and said, "No, we all want to wear shorts as well." And it was put to a vote on the board, and the board, it was rejected, I suppose, by the board. It was like, what, it was 60 to 40, something like that. They voted against getting rid of the skort, which to me seems a bit bonkers.
No, bonkers. And to be fair to the board, it wasn't just them. Like, delegates representing each county are sent forward to vote on behalf of, you would think, their own players. It is bonkers. It's very strange. All the players are saying, we don't like this. It's odd that we're wearing skirts playing Camogie. But, you know, the thing to say, like, this isn't the GAA predominantly male organisation saying to the women, well, you'll wear what we tell you. This is a separate organisation. It's the Camogie Association, run by women traditionally, for women, of women. And weirdly, they're turning around to their own members saying, we hear you, but no. So it's a very peculiar situation.
Yeah. I just don't know why they just wouldn't go, they want shorts, let's give them shorts. What, is it tradition?
I guess so.
If it's tradition, then men should be wrestling naked.
They're going to have to just strike. I think the Camogie ladies should just strike.
Well, they'll have to, because the next opportunity to vote on it is in, I don't know.
It's very odd. Or just an option. Just where would you want?
Yeah.
Kind of option. We got to go. Stephanie, well, sorry, you have to go.
Yes, I'm going to go and get a train.
Thank
I'm
you so much.
Going to listen, though, on my run, and I will see what your any other business is.
Actually, she's been put in charge of COVID watch for the country, so.
I was the COVID police. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, we'll take a short break. Keith's going to stay with us.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running.
You're welcome back. We are rounding off the week. So this slot's in an interesting spot in that two of the three regulars haven't shown up, and now one of the subs has just walked out. So that leaves me and you, Keith Walsh.
I feel like
when it's cancelled next week, you can't really say, I don't know what happened. I didn't see it coming. Nobody wants anything to do with this slot.
So I've seen the signs and I'm still in denial. I'm still no, everything's fine.
That went really well,
that's
I thought.
Fine. What, who's that guy moving the deck chairs out there?
I'm told we've done winners, we've done sinners. I'm reliably told that generally we do anything else, any other business that you would like to raise. So what's going on?
I can just talk about whatever I want.
Yeah, I do.
You know? So we talked about holidays, kids and holidays and all that kind of stuff.
How many kids do you have?
So I have two. And when you say kids, one of them's 22 this year and the other one is 16 this year.
Okay.
So
you're over the worst of it.
I'm definitely over the worst of it, I think. I'm sure there's people that will tell me, actually, it's when you think you're over the worst of it and then they're still kind of hanging around until, like, into their, you know, maybe 25 looking for stuff, you know what I mean? So it's like maybe this part of parenthood is like, you know, when you're finishing up at a job or the holidays are approaching, it's those last days that just seem to drag on forever. But, you know, I love my children.
Putting that on the record.
Yeah. Okay. And I hope that those days, I hope they never leave me or my house or my life. But I'm over the worst of it because I'm out of the, I don't, look, those holidays are long if it's raining, and it generally is raining, and we're always looking for things to do, and we're always looking to entertain our children. And I've just long held this belief that don't try and entertain them. You know, I mean, as long as you're not interfering with them in a negative way, as in, like, as long as you're not don't overstimulate them, don't, like, you know, ground them too much, you know, not too much punishment and not too much, and just kind of leave them be, they'll generally find a sort of a level and a thing, and that, you know, the next thing you know, as I said, like they'll be building a hut and possibly under your bed or in your bed, you know, making a hut out of your mattress and stuff like that. But they do find their entertainment. So let's not all freak out too much.
Because I do remember being bored quite a lot in my childhood. Mm. It was a concept that wasn't necessarily, oh my God, you're bored, I must do something about it. I generally felt the response was, well, go and play or go and do something. And maybe that was a less pressurized on parents kind of an atmosphere.
Unboard yourself. And that's when you reach for the encyclopedia. You tried to find one in that encyclopedia set that you hadn't read.
Yeah.
And got bored reading that instead.
But then proof will be in the pudding. Maybe the next generation will all be more rounded than us, have more abilities, can play instruments, speak languages, will have benefited from
being really busy all the time.
Yeah, kept occupied. It's a tricky one.
You wonder. So just a tip for the holidays, and this is a big one, and this could save you a lot of angst,
yeah,
a lot of crying and tantrums from parents and from children. Don't shout up the stairs that the dinner is ready, okay? Unless it's just about to be put on the table as the child enters the kitchen or the sitting or the dining area, wherever you eat the dinner.
Keith, where were you 20 years ago?
I'm witnessing this now in houses, you know, that, you know,
it's the worst.
I'm in houses and I'm seeing this.
It's the worst. And then you've no one to blame but yourself when the kids stop coming down, because they know someone's crying wolf down there. We have another 10 minutes.
But what is it?
Well, it's the parent going, they're not going to come down straight away, so I need to get the initiation now. So you're both playing a dishonest game with each other.
Yeah, just have a sit down, get all the kids together, whatever, sit down and go, from now on, I'm going to be honest.
Yes, I promise.
I promise I'm going to say when the dinner's ready, that the dinner's ready. And I'm only ever going to shout the dinner's ready when the dinner's ready. And then start being honest parents.
Yeah. Even if the kid then doesn't come for another 10 minutes, so be it.
So be it.
Dude, there's nothing worse coming down. I mean, you did say it was ready. I can't help but notice it's not. It's not a good situation for anyone. I'm losing my mind here.
And that's absolutely this is not the time to then say, well, you know, set the table or get involved in some way, because your heart is broken. You're so aware of your hunger pangs at that point. Mm-hmm. You've waited. You haven't had that snack that you asked for an hour ago.
Probably salivating as you came down the stairs.
You were literally, you've put, like, talk about being bored. The worst time to keep yourself entertained is in those last minutes before you get called for your dinner.
I have a 17-month-old.
Yeah.
What was your favourite period of being a father?
Ooh, that's a great question. I mean, look, I genuinely loved all of it. But that age, 17 months, and for the next kind of year, they're pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just the amount of things they start doing, the development, the speed.
Yeah.
And like, they're just incredibly cute. And I think that's on purpose, because then dads are like, all right, I'm interested now. Let's start doing stuff. Let's start wrestling. But that's a great age. And then I think I like when they're young teenagers as well, because they start rebelling a little bit and it's fun, you know. As long as you don't ever take anything personally.
Oh, well, that's funny. Well, that's the age I'm dreading, where they rebel and you're not their favorite person anymore. They're not heartbreaking for a couple of years. No?
They don't really. You do things that are embarrassing, but that's like, start doing that at a young age anyway, you know, and understand the thing I come back to is, don't take anything personally, because you're the person that they'll test everything on. They'll try out everything on. They'll call you the worst things. They'll say the worst. All their boundaries are being tested on you. That's because you're a safe person, all that kind of stuff. Mm. So never take anything personally. You'll be fine. They'll go off you for a few months. Once you're okay and you don't take it personally, you know, like that gets prolonged if you start getting the hump because they don't like it. Do you know what I mean?
That's a good tip.
Yeah. So you'll be cool. You'll be fine.
Well, we'll see. Okay.
Oh, I've just gaslighted you now for the next day.
Yeah.
You'd be like, but Keith said I'd enjoy this bit.
Yeah. What's wrong with me? As they scream obscenities at me. That was Winners and Sinners.
I think it was a success.
Look, I think we have a conversation after we say our goodbyes here, but...
Can I hear tumbleweed? Is that tumbleweed?
Back full compliment next week, yeah? Okay, everyone's back next week. The regulars are back for Winners and Sinners next week. To Stephanie Preisner, who's listening as we speak in the car on the way to the train, a big thanks to you. And to Keith Walsh, thank you very much.
Yeah, I was here, everybody, yeah.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.